Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's Emergency Services, the hostages, and the injured. We are in Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. We found out that a man named Achan took from the spoils from Yericho, the spoils which Yehoshua had said were off-limits. The metal vessels were going to be in a storehouse for God. Everything else was to be destroyed for reasons we've already discussed. The nation does not know that Achan has done this, and they go to war against Ai, a battle which they believe they're going to win easily, and it does not work out that way. Instead, they are routed. We said that they attack and immediately are driven off. They lose 36, or like 36 men, from their force of 3,000. We talked about that yesterday. And Yehoshua sees this immediately as a religious issue. This is something, someone has sinned, something has been done wrong, and he falls on his face before God, and he says, God, why have you abandoned us? A reaction that, on the one hand, is very similar to Moshe's reaction after the golden calf and after the Meraglim, and on the other hand, evokes the Jews with lines like, why did you do this terrible thing to us, and you've given us into the hands of the Amori to destroy us. So now we get to Hashem's response. Chapter 7, sentence 10. Vayomer Hashem l'Yehoshua, kum lach. Hashem says to Yehoshua, get up you, or get up for yourself. Lama ze'ata nofel al panecha, why are you falling on your face? A reaction which is very clearly harsh, very clearly a rebuke. It's not like you can't really misinterpret that one. That's definitely a negative reaction to Yehoshua. Chata Yisrael, he says, Israel has sinned. Vegam avru es berisi, they have also violated my covenant, asher tzivisi osam, which I commanded them. Vegam lakchum en hacherem, and they also took from the spoils. Vegam gonvu, and they also stole. Vegam kichashu, and they also denied or lied. Vegam samu bichlehem, and they also put in their vessels. Velo yachlu b'nei Yisrael lakum lifnei oyvehem, oref yifnu lifnei oyvehem k'ayu l'cheirem. The Jews are not going to be able to stand before their enemies. They are going to turn the back of their necks to their enemies. They're going to run away. K'ayu l'cheirem, they are going to be for destruction, for violating the cheirem. Lo osif liyosi machem, I will not be with you any longer. Imlo sashmidu hacherem mikir bechem, until you right this wrong, until you get rid of this cherem that is in your midst, that which has been declared for destruction, declared as off limits. There's more to Hashem's response, but we'll pause there. There's a lot to see here. So first of all, Hashem says, kum lach, get up you, get up for yourself. That is clearly rebuke. Right? He didn't say kum, he didn't say get up, he said kum lach. There's an element of rebuke for you there, and then he said, why are you falling on your face? So what exactly is this rebuke? Well, if I take the word lach as the key word, you, then you could suggest Hashem is actually blaming Yehoshua. And there are two ways that that our sages read that. One is a medrash in the Sifri, Devarim Chavtas. We talked about this, I think, last week, where we note in the Sifri that Hashem tells Moshe that his replacement, Yehoshua, is going to lead the nation. And Hashem said, Ki hu ya'avor lifnei ha'amazeh, he will go in front of this nation. But we saw that when they went out to war, Yehoshua sent the men. Yehoshua did not go out in front. And so the Sifri says that that's the problem. Hashem says, Lo kach amarti l'moshe rabcha mitchila, didn't I tell Moshe, your master, initially? Im over lifnei, im over him, v'im lav, einam over him. If he goes in front of them, then they will cross, then they will enter, and if not, they don't go. You sent them ahead of you. How dare you? So that's one view of what Hashem is saying to Yehoshua here. It's your fault that this happened. Rashi here gives you another explanation, which is, I think, a little bit more straightforward in terms of Yehoshua's liability, taking the view that was Yehoshua's own decision to render the spoils off limits, that it was not an instruction from Hashem. So Rashi says, "Bishvilcha zos lahem, this happened because of you. Lo amarti lo chalakdish shlal ha'ir, I didn't tell you that you should render the spoils off limits." We talked about why he did it, and we gave lots of explanations. And some of them, really seemed very compelling. It was a victory on Shabbos, not to profit from it. Dedicating the first of their conquest in Israel, like their first tithe to Hashem. Like, Jericho is a city of idolatry. It's an Erni Dachas. It should be off limits. Like, they are very reasonable explanations. Nonetheless, bottom line, you created this problem. It was your decision when you created your own rules. This is on you. I might actually be talking about that in the Drasha, the Shabbos and Shul. We'll see. Alternate read of this sentence is that it's a call to action. Kum lach, get up and go. Not unlike what Hashem says to Moshe when the Jews approach Yamsuf, they approach the sea, and Hashem says to Moshe, Matitzak Eli, why cry out to me? Now, it's unclear in that story where Moshe had cried out to Hashem, but Hashem is saying to Moshe, this isn't a time for you to call out to me. Rather, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yisau, speak to the Jews, and they will go forward. And there's a lot of commentary there as to what exactly Hashem is telling Moshe, but on a very basic level, Hashem is saying to Moshe, you know how to deal with this situation. And Hashem is saying to Yahushua here, you know how to deal with this situation. You do. Something is wrong religiously. I did not help you the way that I have pledged to help you, the way that I helped you in Jericho. Obviously, someone sinned, someone did something wrong, and you ought to be able to manage it. Hashem then describes for Yahushua what's been done wrong. And it's a very odd description that he gives him, right? He doesn't say somebody took from the spoils. He says, Israel has sinned, and they also violated my covenant, which I instructed them, and they took from the spoils, and they stole, and they denied or lied, and they placed in their vessels. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Memdalad Amad Aleph, says the five gams, the five alsos, are that they violated Chamisha Chumshei Torah. They violated the five Chumashim. But the general approach of the commentaries, Radak, Malbim, Mitzudas David has it, is that Hashem is laying out what makes this sin so terrible. So he says, Chata Yisrael. First of all, they sinned. That's basic. Number two, Avru Brisi, they violated a covenant. This was an intentional violation of a covenant. This was not an accident. And they also took from the spoils, meaning they're violating the command of my delegate, of Yahushua, the Navi, if he's a Navi. They're violating the command of their leader who they're supposed to be obeying. V'gam gunvu, and they stole. So Mitzudas David, or David Altshuler, says they tried to hide from people, meaning this is the classic line about Geneva and Gezela, the difference between somebody who steals surreptitiously versus somebody who is very bold, where the Torah says that if the person steals as a sneak thief, then he pays double, he pays kefel. Whereas a gazlan, the person who walks up to somebody and grabs something from him, does not. So you have this classic idea in the Medrash that the reason for that distinction is because at least the person who stole in the open, it did not desecrate God's name. I mean, he did by stealing. It's still not a good thing to do. But the person who steals surreptitiously is acting as though Hashem doesn't see him. He's hiding from human beings. He's not hiding from God. Either he's saying, I don't care that God sees, or he's saying, I don't believe that God sees. Either one. So that's what's happening here. The Mitzudas David said, he stole as Geneva, he hid from people, not caring that God is going to see, either thinking God doesn't see me or not caring that God sees me. Also, lied. When did Achan lie? Kichashu, what's that about? So either he lied at the time that he stole, it's as part of that act, or he's going to lie later, we'll see, until Yahushua asks him to confess. Samu bichlehem, and they put it in their vessels to further lie and to conceal, is one read. Alternatively, Malba makes a point, I think Mitzudas David has this also, that he put the stuff in his vessels to hold on to, meaning he didn't need it. It's not like he had a need for the stuff he took from the spoils. He put it in his, in his storage stuff. He put it away somewhere. Like, why take from the Cherem? What was your goal here? So Hashem says, Israel has sinned. This is, again, like we've talked about, collective responsibility for the reasons that we've already discussed. And Hashem rebukes Yahushua, and Hashem enumerates what was done wrong and why it was so bad. And then he says the Jews are not going to be able to stand before their enemies until you get rid of this, you get rid of the spoils. But it's a very interesting statement that Hashem makes here, because he says to Yehoshua, you should know, it's not that I'm punishing you. It's not that I'm zapping you. I am not acting against the Jews. What I am doing is refusing to assist you. I'm rescinding my assistance. We talked about this earlier when we talked about the idea of collective punishment here. And we said one way to look at it is that the tzibor, the community, has lost its great status, lost its merit, and therefore it simply doesn't deserve Hashem to take care of them because of this sin that took place in their midst. And maybe that's what Hashem is saying here. I am not going to be with you until you write this Avera. I wish you luck. That's what Hashem is saying. So what he's going to do in the next few sentences is to outline what they should do in order to find the thief, how to catch this thief. So that's what we'll pick up with, God willing, tomorrow.